Well, hello. Welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. Today, I have a great friend of mine. Actually, I invested with him a couple of years ago. I don't know whether he remembers it or not. Reed Goossens. And Reed basically comes from Australia. He quit his job. He moved to United States after a dream in 2012. You know, he had no money, no investing experience, but he went directly into purchasing small duplex for himself. Now he has grown that from 2012 to 2022. He has his own real estate firm, RSN Property Group. He now syndicates large multifamily deals across the United States. His portfolio worth $650 million. He has achieved financial freedom. He has taken control of his life. He's host of successful podcast. He has written two books, Investing in US, The Ultimate Guide to US Real Estate. And the other one is 10,000 Miles to American Dreams. Both are Amazon best-selling books. Reed, welcome to this webinar.
Prashant, thank you so much for having me, mate. It's good to see you again. I do remember you. Of course I do. Of course I do remember you in our deals. So
yes.
How are things?
Things are awesome. You know, I've been doing real estate. I did real estate on the side for many years, 5 years. Recently, I'm full-time in real estate, although I have worked a lot, over the last 5 years, 6 years. But you come to a point where you say, listen, guys, I have to move on, right? I mean, you've created passive wealth, passive income on the side. You are financially free anyway in a couple of years in real estate. So I'm full-time in real estate. That I do multifamily and assisted living. The goal of this podcast today is, I want to teach. There are a lot of tech people across in the country, right? I mean, they come from all over the world. They are very busy, all the time. They are just working 8 to 8 and they are always solving problems for others, right? And in that doing so, they forget to take control of their lives. For them, investing is all about stocks and bonds. Mm-hmm. And many of them end up losing money. I mean, trust me, I know 90% of folks, I know they end up losing money. But still they keep on going back and keep on burning their feet. What I want to educate them is, guys, there are easier way to make money. There are passive investments into recession-resistant asset classes. You have been doing a lot of good work. You have been talking a lot. You have your own podcast. I thought I should invite you and pick your brain how you would motivate these people.
Yeah, look, how do you motivate someone? Look, I think it starts from someone who wants more, right? There's a curiosity to say to themselves, is this it, right? I know for me, when I was working full-time, my background's in structural engineering. I went to school for structural engineering. I worked across the globe. And I remember getting back from, I worked in London in 2008, 2009. I got back to Australia in 2010. And I remember joining a civil engineering firm company and just feeling like a small cog in a big machine. And that, for me, was my driving force. So I sort of encourage people listening to this show. Clearly, if they're listening to this show, they're already thinking about something more, right? They see them, their friends, they see their other friends and family colleagues investing in real estate. They want to be able to create a better future for themselves and for their family. So clearly there's just a little grain of salt there, a grain of sand that's starting to permeate into a big beach, right? And the big beach is going to be all these ideas. So I say lean into it. And what I mean by lean into it is when you get started, it definitely starts from curiosity. Like, you've got to be curious about something, because otherwise you wouldn't want to go and do it. Because going down this path, you've got to educate yourself. We're not talking about the traditional ways of going to university, getting a job and, you know, getting, you know, working forever and then retiring. I'm talking about going out and increasing your financial IQ. So listening to these podcasts, understanding what a P&L looks like. How does a P&L work? Understanding what cash flow means, understanding what your financial goals are. If once you start understanding that, you can then back into, what do I want to place my money? You know, traditionally stocks and bonds, or alternative assets like physical assets, real estate assets. And why would you invest in physical assets? Well, we can talk all about that sort of stuff. And this is why you listen to the show. Cash flow, amortization, appreciation, and tax benefits. And, you know, in today's world where the stock market's going nuts, well, you invest in hard assets in an inflationary environment. You know, paper assets can be good for a part of your portfolio, but investing in hard assets help protect you against inflation. So what do I mean by that? Well, if your money's in the stock market now, well, there's high inflation, right? Inflation's at, what, 7 or 8% per month, I think it was the other day. If you waited a year on $1 million, that's not worth $1 million anymore, because inflation has eaten away at that cash sitting in the bank. Well, if it was in a physical asset, like a piece of real estate, like a multifamily deal, well, in a year's time, it'd probably be worth even more, because it's an inflationary hedge. Even if I bought a multifamily deal today, Prashant, and I made no money on it, but I sold it for what I bought it for and got my money back in 3 years' time, well, I hadn't lost any money through inflation. So all these benefits are about why we invest in real estate, but boils back to, you know, increasing your financial IQ, having that curiosity to go out and start learning about something.
So awesome tips. You know, it's all about curiosity. You have to start somewhere, right? It's not that, you know, somebody's going to feed you that financial acumen. It cannot be fed, right? I mean, you have to start. I mean, you are you can control your health, mm-hmm. your financial future, and of course, spirituality also. You are the only person who can have your own faith, your own financial future, and your own health. That's nobody right. else will be responsible for these three things. And one of them we are talking about is financial future. These guys, you know, all these techie folks, they make a lot of money. I used to make a lot of money too, like everybody else. And their earning potential is pretty high. I mean, they end up saving, you know, on the lower side, at least $50,000 a year. Or on the higher side could be $100,000 to $200,000 a year. They end up saving. And it's just sitting, either it is sitting in stock account or it is sitting in their bank. Tell me a little bit about how one should be able to use that kind of saving potential to create a better future for themselves.
Right. Well, it's all about, you know, you've been taught to invest in a broker, right? A broker who, not a real estate broker, a stock broker who will take your money and put it into some savings or some stocks. And that is just you sort of handing over money, right? You don't know where it's going. You don't know why it's going to a certain stock. You don't know the earning potential of a certain stock. And that's, you know, stock brokers, they get paid to place money. So having a control, and again, going back to the curiosity, making sure that you understand why your money is being invested in certain areas, right? If you go out and invest in a passive deal in a piece of real estate, either with you or with me, and you invest $50,000 every 6 months, well, over a period of 3 or 4 years, you probably have 7 or 8 different investment streams, which means you're diversified across, you know, different assets in terms of you're diversified across different geographical locations, and you're protected against downturns because you are in a, you know, in particularly multifamily, what we do, or in senior living, you're in a product that people need. Right, we provide affordable housing or workforce housing. Right, there's a limited supply of that, and everyone needs food and shelter. So we're investing in things that people need, and that they'll continue to need in 20 years' time, or they'll continue to need in 100 years' time. Right, unlike other investments that are out there, you know, investing in the latest tech fund or the latest tech gadget, that might be consumed or taken over by another piece of tech in the future, right? And so understanding what it is and having a risk-adjusted return in certain investment classes, i.e. stock market or i.e. real estate, is really important to understanding where you want to place your capital for long-term growth. And again, it goes back to those goals about why you want to get, why do you want more out of your life? Why do you want more than just a W-2? Why do you want more than just your money sitting in a bank account and earning 0.02%? Because you want your money working for you, leaving the door, out the door, the same time as you leave for work every day, your money's also out there working for you at the same time. So if it is sitting in an account, understand where you can place it. Then there's many options. We're just talking about real estate here. You can go buy businesses. You can buy investing in gold or commodities. There's so many different ways. But the fundamental of it all is that you are understanding what you're investing in order to help you achieve your goals, your financial goals.
I like your example, you know, where you said that you are investing in fundamental commodity, you know, a commodity which will be needed forever, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, 500 years from now. The tangible asset that we invest with, you have minimal risk, basically. If I'm working 8 to 8, I don't want to think about my investments, you know, on a daily basis. As a passive investor, my money is constantly working for me if I'm investing in the real estate. And it is working whether I know about what is going on or not. It is protected. Number one, protection. I'm saving my wealth for future. And it is working without me working on it. I don't need to know about what is happening in the gold market. I don't need to know what is happening in the stock market, because the fundamental asset class, you know, history knows it, you know, over hundreds of years, you know, real estate always goes up.
Yep. You know, well, I'll also say, Prashant, is that, you know, when the stock market crashed the other day, we're recording this on June 17th, it's crashing, went to a bear market. Well, yeah. My rents on my properties didn't go into a bear market. They're actually going up. Because I've got more renters wanting to rent from me in my certain areas, because we are affordable in today's environment. When inflation is going crazy, there's $6-$7 a gallon at the pump, you know, groceries are going up. Well, my rent for $1,500 looks really affordable right now. So I'm getting a lot more people wanting to come and wanting to rent from me, but my rents aren't crashing. So my income's not crashing. So again, having a recession resilient investment is extremely important in these volatile times.
Awesome. Awesome. I mean, I must tell you, I'll just give an example to supplement what you are saying. You know, I was in a deal and unfortunately that deal did not close. So I had a bunch of money sitting in my escrow account from investors and I was apologetic to them that, guys, this deal did not work out, maybe in the next deal. So those investors came back to me and they said, Prashant, you don't have to apologize. We should thank you that you had my money at least. Even if it was not growing, we did not close the deal. At least it was safe. Yeah. If it was not safe, we would have put it in stock market and it would have gone down.
Right. I've heard that saying twice now from two different people that they said, thank you for, you know, closing or not closing. And it goes back to my point earlier. If you invest in real estate and your money, you know, I'm just trying to give the worst case scenario. You sell it for what you buy it for. Well, then the act of inflation isn't actually eating away at it, and was what is your investors saying as well. No, I love it.
Yeah, so you basically are making money irrespective of you knowing it or not.
Correct.
And that's what is the passive investment for these folks, basically, right?
That's right.
So I mean, your example is very good. $50,000 every 6 months. Within 3-4 years, you would have 7-8 income streams coming to you. And because you are working full time, you are continuing to make more money. Your capacity, you are reinvesting that money.
Compounding.
It is compounding. You know that 10%. I mean, typically, what kind of returns rate do you see in your properties? You know.
Yeah, mid teens. So you know, 12 to 15, 16%. You know, cash flow is maybe is around the 7-8%, depending on the deal. As we buy value add deals, so we come in, we increase the value of the rent. It takes time, but over time, we increase that value. We can increase the cash flow. That a cash flow increases the value of the asset. We then sell the asset. Everyone makes money. So, you know, I think historically we've done over 20% IRRs, but you know, moving forward, we are always trying to say to people, we like to double their money every 5 years. If we can double someone's money every 5 years, it's roughly around a mid-teen IRR.
Yeah.
And again, that's you, once you make money on that, we can then roll it over into another deal and you can save on the taxes on that side as well. So there's a lot of ways in which we, one, make people money and a certain return, and they're risk-adjusted returns, right? You know, I will say, real estate is slow and steady, baby. She ain't She ain't, you know, she's not crypto, you know, the highs and the lows. You are slow and steady winning the race, right? And that's all you want in your long-term investments, because you want to be able to go to sleep at night knowing that you don't have to have one eye open thinking about what the hell's happening tomorrow with the latest trend on TikTok or crypto or a war going on in Ukraine.
How many years do you think that one should kind of save like that, $50,000 a year, to get to
as long as they, you know, again, I think it goes back to that financial goal. Like, some people might just want, I don't know, $500,000, you know, or $1 million to save and then go retire to the Philippines or somewhere really cheap, you know, or, you know, go down to Mexico and retire down there. It depends on really what your goal is. In general, if you're still a full-time worker earning good, you know, six-figure incomes, investing $50,000 a year into passive real estate every 6 months is probably doable. And if you did that for at least 5 years, you'll set yourself up with an incredible nest egg that will continue to grow and grow and grow. Because remember, when you invest that first $50,000, it's earning cash flow, but then it sells, right? And it grows. It might double. So it's now $100,000. Then you can reinvest that into another, through 1031 exchange, into another deal. Now that's another $100,000 basis. You're now going to grow that to $200,000, right? And that's every single investment. Every single $50,000 you put out, it's going to do the same thing, right? Now, obviously, that you got to invest in the right deals and then the right sponsors and in the right areas. But that's, you know, high level, 30,000 foot level, that's the idea of investing that $50,000 every 6 months.
So what is your message to these people? You know, when should they start? I mean, I started much later. Let me give you a little bit of my background.
Sure.
I started only 6 years ago. And here I am. I'm financially independent. I was making a hell lot of money in my IT job. It took me only 5 years to get out. Right now, I'm taking a potential break for last 60 days, another three, four months more to see how, you know, tread the waters carefully, right? Of course, my daughter, you know, kids going to the college and all that. But the basic idea is when should somebody start? I mean, I feel sorry that I didn't start early enough. So I want to hear from you.
Yeah. Look, I think here's the other big thing, right? No one can time markets.
Yeah.
You can't time a market. You can't time whether it's going up, it's going down. But you can be consistent in a market. And what I mean by consistent is, I mean, you're consistently looking at deals. You're consistently understanding where the market is going. And then you're deploying your capital every year, right? I've talked to passive investors all the time. And if they're thinking about a long-term horizon, I'm talking 20 years, right? And if they're deploying money every single year into real estate, over the long term, it will go up and to the right, I should say. And because, you know, the little dips and peaks and troughs will happen eventually, but if you're constantly and have that long-term mindset and consistently deploying capital every year, you will make a lot of money in the long term. Now, back to your question, when do you get started? You get started as soon as you can. My dad used to say to me, a fool and their money are easily parted. So don't be that fool. Invest in your education. The time is now. It's always the right time. You know, that old Chinese proverb, when's the best time to plant a tree? It was 20 years ago. When the next best time? It's right now. Right. Take action. You know, taking action, and it can be little action. Listening to a podcast once a day, reading a book once a week. Whatever it is, that's taking small amounts of action into growing your financial IQ so you can become more knowledgeable about what you're investing in.
Awesome. That's a great nugget, you know, for our listeners here. And once again, we are listening to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. And with me, I have a, you know, good friend of mine, Reed Goossens, and he's from Australia. He came, you know, like everybody else, no money in their pocket, and he has built an empire for himself. I must say that, because $650 million in assets under management, you know, owner of, you know, I mean, he has written many books. He's out there doing right things, educating people. And today we have him here. He's sharing his thoughts. Now, my next question to you, Reed, is, what are the things that, besides real estate, what are the other things? You know, in real estate, we have many asset classes, right? Mm-hmm. What are the different asset classes do you choose to invest in and why?
Yeah, so I'm an owner operator, right? Like I'm like you, Prashant. I buy multifamily deals. I operate them. I have investors invest alongside me. So I'm heavily in multifamily. Like that's my niche, right? Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is also be vertically integrated, right? Mm-hmm. So within the company, I have construction management. We have asset management. We have institutional underwriting. We also do we source our materials directly from Asia to in bulk. So we reduce our costs, right? And I've been doing that for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. That is all about creating vertical integration, or another word for it, business ecosystem. So when you're looking for a sponsor or you're looking for people to invest in, understanding what their ecosystem looks like is really powerful to helping making sure the investor knows that, okay, they control the construction, they control the property manager, or they control the suppliers, or they control, you know, how they manage the asset. They're all so important because it's, you know, you make money when you buy, but you lose it through bad management. And that includes both asset management and property management. So investing with the right team is really important, and understanding what that ecosystem looks like is extremely important. To your point of what other asset classes are there, well, you just mentioned earlier, you know, assisted living, right? It's another thing that, you know, we're an aging population. I get older every single day. Every time I, you know, if I get off this podcast, I'm going to be 30 minutes older than what I was 30 minutes ago. And people are getting older, and there's a need for decent care at a certain stage in life. Another really great recession resilient asset class is self-storage, right? As consumers, we're constantly getting more crap, and houses are getting small and our living spaces are getting small, but we still seem to be consuming more stuff. So we need to put it somewhere. Well, why don't we put it in a shed and we'll pay someone who owns that shed to keep it there? You know, these are good asset classes to be investing in. There's other asset classes like retail, hotels, you know, parking structures, mobile home parks. There's all these different asset classes out there in the commercial realm, but understanding what the risk is for each of those asset classes is really important. And it goes back to what I mentioned earlier about, well, multifamily or housing is a class that is going to be needed for decades, for centuries to come, because we all need what? Food and shelter. So I like to invest in multifamily, and that's what I've built my business around. But I've also then built the business within that, which is an ecosystem of making sure I'm controlling all the facets of it, so we manage the asset correctly and we reduce, you know, our overall costs and help increase the ROI for our investors.
So your approach is to build, take one asset class and kind of control it completely from all perspective, you know, whether it is construction management, property management, security.
As best I can. Yeah.
Very good. I like that approach actually very much. And the reason I say that is, you know, the more and more focused you become, you end up having more and more expansion. I know it is kind of conundrum, but to me, it is true also when I can go deeper in one area, my knowledge increases tremendously, which potentially can be helpful in other areas also.
That's right. But I will say, Prashant, that as a passive investor to your listeners out there, the beauty about what we do is that there's many other operators out there that do exactly what I do. And yeah, I encourage everyone listening to the show, if you want to be a passive investor, invest that $50,000 I kept telling you, invest a little bit with me, invest a little bit with Prashant, invest a little bit with someone down the road. You get to then diversify, right? We are experts in what we do, but you as a passive investor get to have the optionality of diversification across not only operators, but different asset classes. So maybe there's a self-storage deal you might want to go look at. There's a senior living. I know someone on this show who does senior living, right? There's multifamily. Like, so then you can get asset class diversification within your own little portfolio. And again, it's all under the guise of commercial real estate, but it is just another example of why it's good for operators to be an inch wide and a mile deep. But as a passive investor, you can spread out your risk across many operators and across many asset classes.
Awesome. That's a great way of, like, you know, you say multifamily is in itself is a risk adjusted investment, but you as in passive investor, you means even us also, we invest yep. as passively as well. We have the choice to invest almost anywhere. How much time do you think folks need, you know, these passive, you know, like, these people really don't have that much time. How much time?
Like anything, right? You have to spend, don't be that fool. A fool and their money are easily parted. So you have to spend some time each week devoted to, if you want to learn more about a certain craft, i.e. investing, it's going to take some, you know, some period of time in your life. I would say if you could spend between 5 and 10 hours a week, so it's an hour, you know, under an hour a day, listening to podcasts, reading books, understanding, you know, what an investment summary looks like, understanding what a private placement memorandum is, all these things you're going to need to understand, understanding why there, where there's risks in certain areas and why certain investors are buying in certain pockets of the country, and understanding that. And if you spend, again, an hour each day, just slowly moving the needle forward, the education forward, I bet you in 6 months' time, you'll be complete. You'll have all the tools in your tool belt to go out and make a smart investment decision to invest with an operator who you like and who you trust.
So 1 hour a day for 6 months to learn, you know, about where you want to invest, right?
That's right.
Connecting with people, you know, connecting, building a relationship with them, because many a times these deals are 506B. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a stronger relationship with an operator. You cannot just go and invest with them as you see the deal. So 1 hour a day for 6 months and $50,000 per 6 months over the next 5 years will bring you the financial freedom. I think that's the message we are getting.
That's it.
Getting it from you, Reed, I think.
I love it.
So in that, you know, it is just at a very 30,000 feet level, right? I mean, you may have higher capacity. You may end up learning faster.
Correct.
And you may become an active investor at some point.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yep. Right.
Because once you start going down this path, the blinkers come off. There's opportunities everywhere. I was just back in Australia for my sister's wedding, and self-storage is blowing up over there, right? It's, you know, you start to see things become make sense, right? I now look at different businesses and I think, how can I make that business and grow the P&L? It's the same thing as what we do in multifamily. We're buying businesses and we're growing them. It just happened to be in physical assets of real estate. So, you know, when I started on this journey more than 10 years ago, I moved to this country 10 years ago, but my whole story is around, if I can move halfway across the world with limited funds, I didn't know anything really about real estate, and grow my business to what it is today, and I can do that in a decade, then if I can do it, then so can the average American. And again, it's whether you want to be active or passive, it's up to you. You just got to get started. And I had limited knowledge and no funds. I started exactly where a lot of people are. I was 26 years of age, but I got going. I got off the starting blocks and I started getting, making things happen for myself.
I mean, I must say a lot of people are not that stage. I mean, immigrants have actually a disadvantage, you know, people like you and me. We have the brain, right? Obviously, but we did not have any knowledge about the subject, right? I mean, and we did not have money. We did not have network. We did not have our parents to support us. We had to find our first apartment to live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first thing that you do is, you know, find an apartment, go, you know, take some driving lessons, try to buy a car, take the driving license. I mean, that takes like 6 months, you know, for you to kind of stabilize yourself, right? So, I mean, all in all, we were at disadvantage at some level, you know.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of tech folks who are here, who are well-established. I'm not just talking about immigrants. I'm talking about even average American, right? They have the base, the family base, you know, the family which can support them in the time of needs. Of course, you are brilliant. If I would say if I can do it, they should be able to do it.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
So because the kind of extra help that they have. I mean, I came, I did not know for 6 months where I was sleeping. Yes, I had an apartment, but you know how it is, right?
You figure it out.
You look for, you know, gas prices were like 80 cents a gallon at that time when I came.
Don't age yourself, Prashant.
I appreciate you sharing these thoughts, Reed. Really do. How do you differentiate? What are the traits in a successful operator as compared to the one, you know, who has not grown to that level?
Yeah, look, it's difficult, right? Because it's not difficult. I was a starting operator back in the day. So are you, right? You had to start from somewhere. And I remember approaching my first investors and saying, you know, please invest with me. Today, I have people batting down my door to want to invest with me because I have a track record now.
Yeah.
I think the fundamental thing comes down to, and this is goes back to where you can go as a passive investor, you can go out and interview many different operators. And you should do that, right? Because you want to be able to invest with people you want to do business with. The yeah. first thing that people invested with me when I asked for my first dollar back in the day for my first deal, they're investing in me first and foremost. The deal's actually secondary. So yeah. you have to invest in the operator. And do you trust the operator? Do they have integrity? You know, yeah. they need to have some track record, but some operators don't. They're just starting out. So that's why to get to know, like, and learn and trust who they are is really, really important, because you want to be able to look that person in the eye and say, I'm going to be investing my hard-earned money with you. Do I trust you? Right. And that's the biggest thing it comes down to is trust. And even in good times and in bad times, you want to be able to know that operator has, you know, your money, they treat your money with better than they treat their own money. So, yeah.
Awesome. Reid, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate Pleasure. It very much. How can my folks reach out to you?
Easiest way is hit me up on reidgoosens.com. That's my personal website. That's reidgoosens, reidgoosens.com. You can look up my name on Google. You'll find it. I've got the two books up there. I'm across all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Hit me up. If you're ever coming through Los Angeles and you want to, you know, meet up for a coffee, a beer, we can go surfing, whatever, just hit me up at info@reidgoosens.com. Give me a couple of weeks head notice, but we'll make something happen and put it on the calendar.
Awesome, Reid. Thank you so much, and you enjoy your weekend, sir.
Same with you, mate.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar, signing off for today.